Yeah, until quite recently.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an IGA store.
It became an IGA store and then went out of business. But before the IGA store, there was a man whose daughter was in my class who's a tonic, and I can't remember the name. I think he also started Shagroy, he bought Shagroy. Shagroy was already there. Subsequently, he bought Shagroy.
Oh,
I don't recall his name.
There was a man from, bought Shagroy. He lived down, in fact, he lived in Sharon. He lived down the river road there, and I can't think of his name. Mm-hmm. He and his wife. And they bought Shagroy, and then he died. And I don't know who these are that have it.
It was prior. You're thinking of the man who was on the raft, George, are you?
No.
No, or no. Before that, yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I know.
Yeah, forgot the name. We have that on.
I know there was a a grocery store there. Yes, for quite a while.
Yeah, let's go back to the Farnham Tavern for the moment. I have a note that at the Farnham Tavern at one time was a girls' school and library. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. That would be before my time.
Probably before, yeah. By the way, now, were you born in this area?
Oh, yes, I was born in Solihull Hills also.
I'm Solihull Hills, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Oh, yes, I lived here until I was 30 years old. My residence was in Solihull Hills.
Oh, then you left and then you came back again.
No, I'm not back. I'm in Sharon now. But
yeah.
I got married in 1941, and we were looking for a place to live, and I ended up in Sharon because we couldn't buy a place here that we wanted at that time. So we've been in Sharon ever since.
Ever since,
Or 1945, we bought the place there.
Uh-huh.
I lived in Salisbury. I lived on East Street for a while down in Lakeville. But no, I was born on Solihull Hill and lived there all my life, all my young life. Lived there until, 1926, as they say, and then I went to Mount Hermon School up in Massachusetts. And I was there 4 years. Then I came back here, and I went to work at the White Hart Inn.
Yes, I recall you.
And I worked there for several years. And then I worked in a machine shop over in Miller. That time I was playing in a dance band. We were playing, of course, those were Prohibition days. We were playing in speakeasies all the way from Miller to New York City, everywhere down through there.
Right.
People say they were hard times from 1929 on. They were, but boy, they certainly for amusement, those speakeasies were busy.
Now, what about with all those people coming here as a resort? What kind of amusement, apart from the swimming, I assume, and so on, was there for them?
I don't know if there really was anything much. I don't remember much around here until the Safra boys came here and they started skiing.
The which boys?
Safra.
And they started.
They started the skiing in this area.
Uh-huh.
Before that, of course, that would be late 1920s, probably.
Uh-huh.
When they came here, I know they were here, I believe, in 1930 when they came back.
They built the ski run up here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it was built in honor of John. John was killed in an auto accident, the older brother, and I believe that was built in memory of him.
Mm-hmm.
But there were quite a few brothers. And there were some other Norwegians that came here and all that too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a ski area then. They had cross-country routes for people and everything else.
So this was a winter resort.
That's right.
As well as a summer resort, a year-round resort.
That's right.
And people came mostly from where?
Oh, New York.
Boston.
I guess there were some from Boston, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, why did that kind of disappear? Do we know?
I don't know. Of course, it got to the point where people staying over. Now, when, as I say, when I was working at the hotel, I know there were there were three or four families. It's not families, but the family things, families, not families, no, but it was one lady with a maid that stayed year round. There was another couple, a lady with a companion, and she stayed the year round. There were several like that.
Were they generally families, husband working, coming weekends, or
No. It was a Miss English who stayed there with her maid, stayed in the hotel. And Miss Beaumont with her companion stayed there. No, they were no relations at all, and I don't know what they ever did particularly. Of course, there were a lot of transients. Of course, primarily a lot of the hospice people came there because Henry and Edsel Ford used to come there all the time when I was there. They had two boys at hospice at that time.
Mm-hmm. The library is, I think, named
after Edsel.
Yeah.
Edsel was quite a man. I got to know him fairly well. He was a very shy person, believe it or not. He would come in, he would register at the hotel. I was night clerk there for quite a while.
You were what?
Night clerk.
Uh-huh.
Me in the office all night.
Right.
And Edsel would come in and check in. He would have his supper and go up to his room. You wouldn't see him. If there were people in the lobby, you wouldn't see him at all. Until about 11 o'clock when people go to bed, he used to come down. And he'd come in the office and sit and chat with me.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very interesting man, very interesting.
Kind of informal.
But, he was very worried about his boys because they weren't doing very well at Hotchkiss. They were having kind of a tough time. Henry Ford was entirely different. He wouldn't have anything to do with anybody particularly.
Did he come up here?
Oh, yes.
Oh, he also
once came. In a while he used to come. But it was quite a difference. Edsel would come in a Ford car, and Henry would come in a Lincoln with a chauffeur, and you wouldn't see, he'd have his meals up in his room usually, and you wouldn't see much of it. No, it was quite a difference between the two of them. But Edsel was a very interesting man.
Edsel's wife, was she an informal kind of person?
I don't know. I don't remember her whatsoever. I don't know if she ever came.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember her coming.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I remember Edsel particularly. He came down one night, I remember, and the next day he was supposed to go somewhere and he was supposed to give a talk. And he came down. And of all things, he'd say, now what'll I say about this? What'll I say about that? He was very down-to-earth type of fellow.
Where did they stay? Which place did they stay? Where were you night clerk at?
White Hart.
Oh, did they stay at? It was at the White Hart. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's see, I had a few things I wanted to ask you about here. You did cover that. And now according to this, the Lakeville Journal, I guess, started in for many years the 1866 building was the home of the area's weekly newspaper. So it was way back then on there already. Yeah. You covered that. Yeah. There's a note here about the John Hubbard House. Do you know anything about that one? Must have been much earlier. That preceded the Hotchkiss School. Was there?
I don't know anything about
that.
No, the only things I know about the schools were like Hotchkiss and Salisbury. And Dr. Salisbury School, of course, was Dr. Quayle's. Originally, it was Quayle's school.
The Hotchkiss School was
Salisbury.
The Salisbury School.
Salisbury Prep School. That was Quayle's school originally.
Now, who was Quayle?
Well, Dr. Quayle was a minister, I believe he was an Episcopal minister, who came from Staten Island. He had run the military academy in Staten Island. And he came up here and started this school, Salisbury School. But it went under the name of Quayle School. And then my father did a lot of the work up there. He did all the work for years, the painting and the paper hanging and all the work like that. And he got to know Mr. Quayle very well. Mr. Quayle was very nice, an awfully nice man. I don't remember my father.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Hotchkiss, I don't know who was there in the early days.
There apparently there's a Mr. Dodding that I'm going to be interviewing who worked at Hotchkiss in those early years. Yeah. All right.
And you've got a lot of others that you
Bill Kelsey. Bill Kelsey. Uh-huh.
He's my brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
He knows a lot about Taconic.
Oh, good.
I think than anything else.
I think
he's moving up to Noble right now. I think they're in the process of moving.
Uh-huh.
You might catch him up there if you want to. Gosh, a lot of the old fellas are going. I'm just reading about Nort Minor. I see he just passed away. Nort and I joined the Congregational Church here at the same time, 1924. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to know Nort very well.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other people you could recommend besides Bill Kelsey that might be helpful?
I don't know. There's a fellow in, I'm trying to think of who was in my grade school.
Yeah.
Over here. Of course, there's a fellow in Torrington, that's Zacchio.
Who is it?
Feliciano Zacchio.
Feliciano.
He lives in Torrington. I know he was up here one day. I happened to meet him in here. What's her name? Jenny.
Jenny Moskowitz.
Was here. And I happened to come in the door at that time to go to just to see something in the library. And Jenny yells at me and she says, come in here a minute. And he was here and I hadn't seen him, probably 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And he was living in Torrance and he was in school with me, in grade school.
How do you spell his last name?
Z-A-C-C-H-E-O, I think it is. You're going to have to look in the telephone.
Right.
Is that,
yeah, it's an odd
his
name.
His first name is Feliciano.
Feliciano, yeah.
His father was a carpenter, was a cabinet maker. He did beautiful work. He was wood carver, too. He could carve fireplaces and things like that. Mm-hmm. Beautiful work. But I remember he happened to stop in, was talking to Jenny here, and just happened that I came in that day. So it's the first time we got together. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else here that... I don't know if there's any of the Maurys around, but...
We have one.
Is that Clayton?
Don't remember.
I went to school with Clayton. Earl, I think. I don't know. Earl was older, but I don't know if he's still living or not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, there's none of the Balls. Oh, Jimmy the Boys.
Jimmy
Du Bois. Jimmy lives here. He's up Echo Street here. Lives in town here.
He may be on our list.
Because Jimmy was in my class too. Jimmy knows a lot about. He's with the Salisbury Band. You know, he's well known. The drummer with the Salisbury Band. Jimmy and I took drum lessons from the same man. We took drum lessons from Will Stone, who was the postmaster here.
Will
Stone was the postmaster here.
In Salisbury?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I said something about Will and his wife when we did the one
you
before.
Did. Yes.
And Jimmy and I both took drum lessons from him. He was Connecticut State champion drummer, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy went to band work, I went to dance work.
You mentioned the Gillette family in Lime Rock. Do you know much about them?
I don't know much about it. I don't know if I have any information or not. I've gotten a lot of the old Rensford papers and I might have something in there.
Yeah.
Because Fanny Gillette was Ed Rensford's wife.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll look and see if I
see
have
got any
of that. You know.
And another thing I was asked we want to include now is a...
I worked at the Academy over here for some of their exhibits. And there was a scrapbook there, which I was interested in because it had my uncle, Fred Hollister, who's since gone, of course. And it had way back when he was going to a dance, and he was going with an Eva Turner, or rather, he met an Eva Turner there. And Eva Turner was his wife, was my aunt. And it tells about the dance that they went to where they met. And it's quite interesting to make a copy of that sometime. That's my own. I see, I get involved in genealogy, my wife and I. We've been in it.
Good.
In fact, I'm past president of the Connecticut Society of Genealogists.
Uh-huh.
I was president for 2 years of that. And I still am on the board. The governor's there. In fact, I've got a meeting this month. I've got to get one. We're in have an office in Glastonbury, rather it's East Hartford, and then it's just up the street from Glastonbury. Our wife and I, yes, we've been in it for over 20 years, probably 25 years.
We've been involved.
We've been doing the researching and everything else. We were planning to go to England this summer, but I guess we won't now. Well, I haven't been as well as I was, and I can't stand the walking and everything there, so I guess we will not be going, but we keep up in it. We go to all the meetings every month.
I think you mentioned the part of England that your family came from, right? Did you?
Yes, I think I did.
What was that? I think we have it on the other tape. I'll check that out.
You got me. I'm trying to think of that. Of where the Scrivener family supposedly came from. We don't know for sure.
Right.
Because Benjamin Scrivener was my immigrant ancestor. And he settled on Long Island when part of Huntington, Long Island, when part of that was Connecticut. See, Huntington belonged to Connecticut at one time, and he settled there. And eventually he went into Norwalk. See, all the Scriveners that you find today are down around Wilton and Norwalk in that area. What are left of.
Now, Benjamin Scrivener came around what?
Well, the first we know of him was around 1670s or 1680s, somewhere in there.
Right.
We know he owned property there. But I have no record of his coming across. I can't find anything on that. Of course, that lots of times you can't find records of people coming across because, you know, a lot of them didn't have the money to pay their passage and they acted as a sailor.
Right.
On the way over, just to get here. Some of them we do have records of because they were sponsored by somebody else. They were apprentices. There were a lot of apprentices that came over, a lot of them. And those we can record pretty well, but there's a lot of them we can't find a record of. So we don't actually know whereabouts in England he came from. But we know there were a lot of scriveners and scribes in England at that time.
Yeah.
And that's about the only country that had them, really, by that name. Mm-hmm. It was Scrivener was the most common name then.
That suggests clerk or writing or.
That's right. Well, that's where the name apparently originated.
They
were apparently writers. And yes, it's interesting. But somebody said, "When are you going to stop?" And I said, "There's no end to it. You'll never get there." It's funny. You can find a lot of things. I can go back in the family. Way back there, and I can go back in a lot of the wives even and so forth, but I can't go back in my grandmother. I have a grandmother by the name of Owens. Her name was her last name was Owens. She was Levina Owens. She was born over here in Northeast New York, and I can't find her parents. I've gone through census records. I've gone through everything I can think of. I have her death certificate from Salisbury here. She died in Salisbury. And when it says who her parents, don't know. Everything says don't know.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's only going back to the 1800s, and I still can't find it. See, New York State records are terrible. They are really terrible. They didn't keep birth certificates for years. Now, my father was born over there. No record of birth certificate whatsoever. We know when he was born, but you can't get a birth certificate because there aren't any.
Or else they get lost. Mine was lost.
Oh, yeah?
And I have two birth dates, therefore.
Oh.
When I had to find out, I was born in Rock Island, Illinois, and I had to find out when I was going over to Europe, I had to get for passport purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Dr. Williams had failed to record that he was still living.
Uh-oh.
So he looked through his records and gave a date different than the one we had always celebrated by 1 year.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, those things do happen, I guess.
Yeah.
Of course, it's my mother was born in Chicago. But I was lucky. I wrote out there and I got a copy of her birth certificate. And I finally found out, it was hard because I finally found out from some old records of where they lived. My uncle, who lived in, well, my uncle lived up here where George Kiefer, that's the old Hollister home. That was my mother's home. Uh-huh. Goes way back in our family. Because Pierce, who built that house, would be my great-great-grandfather. And so we can go back in that, and I found some old records that told where my grandfather took his family to Chicago, and he was doing picture framing out there. And my mother was born there during the time. My mother and her sister, she had a sister who were both born there. And I got the birth certificates, copies of birth certificates in both of them from there, because I found out where they lived out there.
And your mother came back to this area?
Then, oh yes, my grandmother drove all the way back from Chicago with two babies. They drove back to Salisbury. I don't know how they did it in those times, but they did. Well, it's interesting, but it's time consuming, I'll tell you that. Down in Madison,
Wisconsin?
No, Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut.
Guilford, I should say. Oh, she's in the Guilford school there. And she gets into a lot of that. And, she even gets into one of these, what do you call it? They go back to the days of the English days of the
industrial.
Yeah,
you mean Watts and industrial revolution?
Yeah, they did there. They didn't even get into that.
And even some of the earlier.
And my other daughter is teaching. Well, she just started teaching because I have a grandson. In fact, my grandson is a junior at Duke. His father's a professor at Duke.
That's your son.
Grandson. My son-in-law.
Oh, your son-in-law.
My son-in-law is
a professor at Duke. Yeah.
Professor at Duke, He was at UCLA for 13 years, and then he didn't want to bring his son up in Los Angeles. It was too bad out there. So they told him they'd give him a chair at Duke, so he's been at Duke quite a few years.
What's his field?
Merchandising. Yeah, he got his doctorate from Yale. On merchandising. In fact, he's written a couple of books. I guess a couple of books home.
Right.
He's fairly well up in it. He and another professor publish a journal on it and everything else. It's all kinds of things they do. So. To me, it's not terribly interesting. I'm not
not that,
in that type
well,
of thing,
but listen, it's a big field.
That's his field, and he's done well in it. I'll give him credit for that.
Oh, absolutely.
And my other daughter, of course, now that the son's grown up, she has gone to teaching. She was an art teacher. She graduated from BU as an art teacher. Both the girls graduated from Boston University, and she graduated as an art teacher. And now she's gone in, they needed a science teacher. She's gone into teaching science. She's kind of mixing science and art together.
Well, that's a good combination.
Yeah.
That's because it really takes, both areas are based on imagination. You cannot be a top scientist without letting your imagination.
Because I know she was up here with me for a while, the electrical end of things. She and I went over that pretty well. But she's got, they teach more or less like, I didn't call it biology, but it's with animals. They've got all kinds of animals. In fact, last time I was down there, she was showing me the room that they have all of these, even had a tarantula there. They have all kinds of animals and insects and everything else for the children there.
At what level is that? Is that the elementary level?
Yeah,
yeah.
In the elementary school.
What system, what school, where is she in?
She's in Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in North Carolina.
Yeah. They live in Chapel Hill.
They have that wonderful university there, don't they?
Oh, University of North Carolina?
Yeah, they do such a great job in some areas. I'm not acquainted with everything.
Well, my grandson was going to go there, and then he finally ended up at Duke. Mm-hmm. He had his choice between the two.
Oh, between the two, yeah.
Of course, he's interested in oceanography particularly.
Oh, that's...
entomology.
Marvelous.
Oceanography, all of that type of thing.
Yeah. I was thinking particularly of the drama group.
Oh, yes.
School at Chapel Hill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. But oceanography, that's he's wise. That's a future field. that's an up-and-coming field.
Well, he and his father, they were out a couple of times to some of the rainforests. He and his father go all over. I think he runs his father ragged sometimes. But, he's quite a kid. He likes that type of thing.
Great.
Yeah, we have about, got one more year. No, he's out. On his own, I see what he's going to do.
Yeah.